It's the hour of truth. Paul Muller here. Got Philip Walthall with me. James is
called out today.
Yeah, he's some soldier, huh?
Just tell you what, man. Tell you what, James.
Oh me. There is a lot of Hebrews going on today. as it was last week.
Yeah.
And what else do we talk about? We talk about Philippians again. And
yep.
Forgot what you, where are you? Where are you? Where
John 15.
John 15. Yeah. Another one we're, in quite a bit here recently. I had, you know, Lord kind of gave me one of those little, so you think things, so you think it's like this, things with the, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is, thank you, Timmy. the idea that that is a threat, and it removes any justification, and in other words, you have no excuse now. This is how you get here, and how you stand here is when you sit before the Lord and say, "All right, here I am, yours to will and to do of your good pleasure." And when you get there, you're certainly building yourself into a position that because of that, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, strengthened. But any other time, that's just one of those hollow scripture memorization. But the process is the process. And the phrase that I used that entertained everybody so well was the, you gotta know why the wherefore is therefore. You gotta know why the wherefore is therefore. And it is sort of a, because of all this stuff, this is wherefore, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you fear the Lord, then submitting yourself to Him, I mean, the correction that's going to come, you know something's going to come, but, it isn't a fear that'll cripple you. It's a fear that heals you. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, what Proverbs says. It's like, I have to think of Hebrews where it says, in chapter 10, I think it is, it's a fearsome thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It should be. That's a safe place for you to be. Safe is, and it is one of his, excellent promises, but the promises to those who submit themselves for his instruction, for his correction. It's a great and living promise. You're looking like you have absolutely no track on it. This is, say something to me.
Look like an idiot. That's just how I look. I mean, that's my standard look. However, I mean, there's a couple of things that's going on. I mean, without me, you can do nothing. I mean, one, you can sit back and go, look, praise God, because my own workings is garbage. And the other side,
well, that is a truth to those who acknowledge it and agree with it. It's an offense to those who are not ready to receive the truth of the Lord.
Amen. And then the fear of the Lord. I mean, but when I look and, you know, I look at myself and look at myself in the mirror on so many fronts of just how off I fell short, and where that place where he says, and every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. You know, I mean, the other scary thing is that is, man, when that truth testifies against me, because the truth testifies against me, it testifies against me in so many ways, and it became very real to me how much it testified me. It scares me. It literally scares me beyond measure. And I know that you were saying, let me just finish this up here.
We're sitting here wearing headphones. We don't have James on Skype.
Oh,
we don't
yeah.
need the headphones.
I got you.
I'm just saying.
But it scares me. And what you have in that though, what happens is, you know, I'm seeing these feelings. So, but what do I have to trust again? I mean, when I see this and I see this truth, what do I have to trust in again? The gospel. And then it comes into the practice and that faith. I mean, Steve was talking about doing things when you don't want to do it. That's being obedient. And when I'm looking at myself on that, I mean, when I'm looking at myself in the mirror and all these things, oh my gosh, the last thing I want to do is step out and do anything, because I feel like such a scumbag about so much stuff that I just want to throw my hands up in there and go, I'm done. But no, I mean, in the midst of
the grace of that to you is it's not your self-righteousness. It's not something you work up. It's not works righteousness. It's about his righteousness.
Well,
he's worthy.
But, amen. And that's where yet you put your faith and trust again in what? The gospel.
That's right.
And you go and you apply that again. Apply that again to your heart, and you go and step forward and what the gospel says. Once again. You know, I look at it as, you know, I typed in there and when Steve was preaching there of it being sacrifice. I mean, that sacrifice, when I really don't want to do a thing and I'm going, I have nothing here to offer, but yet I know it's for me to go do this thing anyways. And that's what the Lord had me do anyways, and going and stepping out and doing it.
That's right. And
then you go, and then your perspective changes, because it goes from, oh, wow, praise God, praise God, because he meets you, he meets you there.
That's the testimony of most Sunday mornings.
Amen.
We prefer to just kick back in bed and have our wives hand us breakfast in bed and let them serve us.
Well, I mean, I tell you, I woke up
2 or 3 o'clock.
You got woken up at 9:30 this morning. I was going, oh my goodness. but praise the Lord. But it's in the back. We don't need to wait till we feel good, or wait till we feel like, you know, we want to do these things or any of these things. No, it's absolutely, you just choose, no matter. I think I remember Davey talking about, you know, what a man is doing that which, you're called to do, even when you don't feel like it. Even though when you don't feel like it. And that's, I don't know, what can I say? I mean,
there's a, when Samson left the whorehouse and went out and killed all the Philistines, was he thinking about how good he was, or was he depending on God's work?
He was depending on God's work. And that's just a good point.
It's the psalm, and I forget which one it is. Maybe it'll come to me, but, where David is commanding his soul.
to David is commanding his soul to do something which does not come naturally. It's like, I don't care. What I want in this matter is to please God.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Don't feel like blessing the Lord, but bless the Lord, oh my soul, anyway. That's just...
But it is amazing. It is amazing how the Lord shows up in those moments. And it is above you can ask or think, and you just sit there and go, praise God. And you know that that was the hand of the Lord. I mean, without a doubt. In the instance, and I'm not saying, I mean, not being presumptive that, and, anything you were right in, but that when that comes, it's just evident to you that it was the Lord. You know? In fact, you were stumbling around doing everything wrong and in unbelief, you know, when you go ahead and then you stagger.
It's not a good enough reason, like David said in the chat. Yeah, Samson didn't sit there and say, oh, I'm such a scumbag, I can't possibly do anything right. He didn't let that fact, okay, that's true. So what? First off, it's not your judgment to make. And second off, it's not your excuse to make. You do the Lord's thing and trust Him. You do the Lord's thing and trust Him. And no, you're not going to be worried.
Never will be.
Never will be. Not a big deal.
But God's bigger than that. And that's what we rely on, which is what? The gospel. I mean, that's the gospel. He died on the cross while we were yet sinners.
That's right.
And it wasn't, He died on the cross for you when you did everything right. No. It says when you're yet sinners.
When you
sinners.
Finally cleaned yourself up.
When you cleaned yourself.
Became not His enemy in your confession. Then He met you and gave you a profession. That's not how that reads, I don't believe.
No.
No.
It says while we're yet sinners, while we're at our worst.
While we were yet enemies.
Yep. While we're yet enemies.
So. That's the glorious, grace and mercy of our Lord. While we're yet sinners.
Amen.
It's true that if you're looking at yourself, you'll never be able to serve God. Because you're never going to be worthy. You have to look at Jesus. And that's the whole Philippians thing. The Philippians, were about, and Paul's instruction to them was about setting your mind to be like-minded as Christ was. When Jesus, took on, He left His divinity in heaven and took on the nature like as a man, in similitude to man, to a human, with the frailties. And, temptations, all the temptations that come our way, He left His divinity in heaven and lived the perfect sinless life and died for us while we were yet the enemies of God. How great does that get? I mean, that's...
Amen.
We could not ever satisfy. We could die and we could go to hell, but we could never pay the debt. The debt went
we could never pay for the debt and cover our own sin. So, Joan, yes, it was. It was. I imagine it wasn't necessarily scary for Jesus to leave heaven and become flesh. The scariness was separation from the Father, and that was coming.
And Steve kind of covered some of this in Hebrews 5 when he was talking about where he, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. I mean, let me go up a little bit. I apologize. But who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, and that he feared. I like that point. I mean, yeah. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He strove against sin to the sweating of blood. It wasn't a thing that he wanted to do.
Right.
Go be beaten and hung on and separated from the Father. I mean, that was not, that's just not like you go yippee, yippee, joy, joy about
and
doing.
Because of his relation, always being related to the Father, always being connected to the Father, that he knew what the plan was. And he knew that, regardless of the hanging on the cross and the bleeding and all that, regardless of the spikes and the crown thorns and the stripes he received, regardless of all that, Come to end of that, God had to turn his back on him. The Father had to turn his back on him.
Well, I mean, he became the cursed thing. The Father could not look at him anymore. And that's when that cut off.
God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, that was his humanness.
That was 10 times worse than the beating.
As a man.
Yeah.
In operation. He was cut off, and he had never experienced that before. Never. That was scary.
Yeah. Well, I was saying it's 10 times worse than the beatings and the stripes and all these things, but that cut off. I mean, it's done with us right when we come out the womb. It was done to him up on that cross.
That's right.
And but he was made perfect in his obedience. He was perfect in his obedience. He obedience by the things which he suffered. And he was obedient to those things all the way through. I mean, I remember the way that Steve was putting it. It was an interesting way that he's putting it that, he did not know, look, I'm gonna follow through with this thing.
And he was,
if he was able to follow through with these things,
and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation and all them that obey him. In other words, being made perfect, he started rewriting the rules for those that would obey him. In other words, all that mattered now was you received Jesus. It's not what your righteousness looks like. It's not what you can do to make yourself righteous. It's what he did in perfection. And what he completed in perfection and took on for us. He took on for us. Even experienced the separation from God that we experienced. He took the complete thing. It was the whole process was made perfect, and by design. I have to keep thinking about, seems like I spend 90% of the time that, we're ministering. It's either ministering out of Philippians or Colossians. It's amazing. Or Romans. It's one of them. But those two small ones and Romans. The, I keep coming back to the perspective that Paul had. It was far better to have the opportunity to know him than to have any of the satisfaction of his accomplishments before he knew him. All the credentials he carried were nothing. All of the born of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day, Pharisee of Pharisees. All that stuff meant nothing. He was still more excellent to know Jesus, who took on all of our corruption and all of our sin, and as Robin says in the chat, endured to the end. He was faithful to the end. He was faithful with the Father, and he was faithful in service and ministering to us grace and mercy that we absolutely did not deserve. And that really every time I think about that stops me. And it was very the essence. It became the very essence of Paul's life. That's why he lived was to minister Jesus Christ. You know, as he's sitting there pondering, well, you know, I'd rather go to be with the Lord, but, you know, as I see, it's necessary to be here for you. So, I guess I'll hang around. He was really agreeing to hang around for the people, not because if he had his way, he was ready to go. And that's kind of meshed with the Second Timothy, where he says, you know, I've run my course, I finished the race. I have a crown waiting for me with the Father. You know, that's a good place to be in. That's the place I want to be in. That's where I want to be. But that is just, there are times when I just get off track. I gotta get reset. And praise God. Cause that's when we need the gospel again. We can be restored. We can command our soul to bless the Lord. We can command our soul to do his things and not our things. Do the works of God, not the works of ourselves. And you're actually
entering into his rest. You know, this we're talking about. You're entering into his rest.
Well, and that falls in line. I mean, you know, you talk about entering into rest. I mean, that what comes to my mind that is in the capture, without me you can do nothing. I mean, because you'd lay down all your works to do his, and that is rest when you do such. You know, Paul, you're talking about that, you know, the place you want to be is, you know, my time is at hand. I'm, you know, and that's, let me see here. Timothy, if I can look it up. And if I don't. Yeah, he goes, for I am now ready, and this is 2 Timothy 4:6, for I'm now ready to be offered, and at the time of my departure is at hand. You know, he says, I'm now ready to be offered. You know, he had that faith in Jesus Christ and the sufficiency that Jesus Christ's sacrifice was perfect and sufficient for him, and he was ready to be offered. You know, that is a good place, but I know, I mean, it's just because as I look at the scripture and I look at my own life, and I can see where there's areas where yet I have unbelief to be purged from, you know, yet I have, and I thank God every day for that opportunity to get things right here. You know, I remember and it's been preached many times, but I remember specifically in the ministers' conference where we actually go, you know, if we go to Hebrews and we look where David was talking about this part of where, you know, yeah, I'm going to get a new body and all these things, but where my heart and my mind is going to be the same. And I need to get that right with the Lord. You know, and that's a scary place for me. I mean, because yet I know there's attitudes, yet I know there's unbelief, yet I know there's these things, and I praise God every day, opportunity to cast those things off, you know?
You know, part of the, we're still talking in the chat room about, was it scary for Jesus? To become a man. And, when Jesus says, now is my soul troubled, that is really the same sort of thing as, you know, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. It's not going to be necessarily comforting. It wasn't comforting for Jesus. He was troubled. He was having to go through this in the natural man that he was. And it was troubling. It's going to be troubling to us in our natural man too. If it was troubling for him, there's a fear and a trembling that, you know, even if we weren't like, if we became like Jesus, we would be in a state of fear and trembling, working out our own salvation. In other words, trying to develop our own relationship with the Lord, where we are actually, willing to do His thing here, just like Jesus did the Father's thing while He was here. And the Father's thing for him when he was here was still yet troubling to his natural man. Still troubling to him. It's going to be troubling to us. But we do it because we choose to find out how to please him. And that becomes our reason for existence.
Amen. Well, it says, you know, in 27, says, now my troubles so troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? Before this cause came I unto this hour.
Yeah.
You go to Romans 12 where it says, present yourself, your body's a living sacrifice. He's asking us to do the same thing. And laying down our lives. And some of these things is not, a living sacrifice. You talk about charity, it suffereth long.
The promise, you're thinking to yourself, well, there's gotta be a payoff for this. If you do the works of the Lord, first off, He shows up and things happen. And secondly, when you're doing His thing, as Hebrews says, verse 10 of chapter 4, he who ceased from his own works has, entered the rest of the Lord. That screwed,
gosh, I mean, but he says,
he started blanking on the syntax of the verse. That's senior moment.
He shows up, but it kind of goes.
For he that has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works as God did from his. That's, if you cease from your own works, then you're doing his and you've entered his rest. And it just doesn't get any better than that. There's a payoff for all this.
Well, if there wasn't a payoff, it'd be most miserable.
Well, yeah. But the payoff is the reality of the truth. There yet remains rest for the people of the Lord. And that's a good thing. That's a sweet thing. And it's just not this pie in the sky in the great by and by thing of, eternal rest. Well, that's in the grave, but there's a real rest from the strivings and the running around. We spend, 90% of our time justifying ourselves from stuff that we've done. And, when you enter His rest, then you're not about justifying yourself anymore. You're about he's preaching the grace and the mercy of the Lord and telling people they can receive that gospel and be partakers of how good the Lord is. But, the payoff for Jesus' ministry and time here on earth was for this hour. For this cause I came unto this hour. And yeah, my soul's troubled. Cause, now he's looking at really hours. And he's going to be separated from the Father. And beat and, scourged and humiliated and stabbed and but all those temporary sufferings. The cutting off from the Father was, that was a big thing. A big thing.
We're asked to do the same thing, though. That's not in the literal sense of, us going to the cross and, it being beaten and all these things. But no, we're asked to lay down our lives, are we not? We're asked to be that living sacrifice, are we not?
The biggest thing that's working against us is we've gotten comfortable in separation from the Father. It's all we've ever known. Since we came out of the womb, we've been disconnected.
Well, and we got the other thing of it's just even when we know, we yet serve ourselves rather than God. Yet when we know, we yet cleave to our life and instead of letting it go. We not let even yet know, we go and what do? We build our foundation on the sand. because we're not yet doing the will of our Father. I mean, when you go to Matthew, I mean, that's the other thing that, that comes into my mind on these things. You know, and I will liken a man who actually, you know, teaches and does these things. I'm going to actually look it up here. Let's see. Because it was a good point. I remember that being brought up last week. Let's see here.
Maybe I can sing. It's also clear in verse 27 of John 12 that Jesus is clear on what his purpose is. This isn't being unfolded on him as he goes. He knows where he's going, knows what he's doing. And it wasn't just, you know, it wasn't the Father acting like our federal government with dirty tricks. So that the example we have is somebody in Jesus chose to do the Father's will and follow through to the end, to the completion of the task he had been sent here for. And so many of us get weary in at least what we think is well doing, and then we just
I was kind of reading John 4 last night with going over Cat, and one of the things is it says and it's not in John 4, but it brought up that part where it, those that endure until the end shall be saved. And, you know, he got that, I looked up here in Matthew and it says, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll like him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. You know, that's where we need to be. That's where we need to be. But so many of us, even knowing the truth, and I'm speaking for myself, so many times, knowing the truth, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine doeth them not, shall be like unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know, what are you building your foundation on? Is it Jesus, or is it not? You know, I mean, being that living sacrifice and laying down your life and choosing the Lord truly and solely, you know.
Yeah, and it's
how many of us hit that rock? I guess the point I'm getting to, how many of us hit that rock at Jesus, not my will be done but yours, and then they turn around and go, that's going to be too hard, and we run and flee from the task that is at hand before our face. Do you understand? Or do we actually go, not my will, Father, but yours be done, and then go and do with it?
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? I guess that's the point I'm getting across, and that's the point we need to all ask ourselves.
Well, that's,
you know what I mean? And that's
submitting ourselves to examination here, Lord. And,
amen.
The light that John 3 is talking about, so that our deeds are wrought in God. And, you know, that's the simple truth. If we're going to be serious about the
the Lord's business, then we're going to keep submitting ourselves to that examination that our deeds are wrought in God.
Amen. And you're going to love, you're going to prefer the truth, even when it testifies yourself, against yourself. He goes, what is it? And before that in John, which is, go look it up. You know, I thought this would be quicker on looking up things. I'm finding it not so much. Just actually turn into my Bible. Because I don't want to screw up the text. I got a little bit of correction on that last time. John 3.
Well, there was general correction. You just received it.
What's that?
There was general correction. You just received it.
What? Well, what is I going to do? Not?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What am I going to do? Not? That's... That wouldn't be good for me by no means. Let's see here. You know, and at the end of that, and what you were kind of referring to there, you know, you was talking about the last verse of 3 there. And, you know, and but if we go up, let's see here. He must, he that cometh from above is above of all. No, that's not it. No, it's not there. It's up a little bit more.
He that doeth truth cometh to the light, and that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. That's verse 21 in chapter 3.
Look, you know, for it, and the one I wanted to go up above that, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Look, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. I look at that and I go, you know, well, why? You know, why is that the case? The reason why that's the case is because when that light shows, it shows that our evil, that it shows our dark areas in our heart. Shows us dark areas in our heart, and we hate the light because all of a sudden it like shows just a spotlight on just how wrong and evil we are. Neither coming through light, lest his deed should be reproved. I mean, it's one of those things, you know, where that's where the choice comes, when that correction comes, when that light comes, we need to prefer that above all things, that we get shed of those evil deeds.
Absolutely.
And get rid of those things. But that's a choice that we make. I mean, we can hate the light, walk off, justify ourselves, or we can take heed of that light and get rid of the garbage that is dragging us down and hold us back from the Lord. But he that doeth truth cometh light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So, I mean, you sit there and you go back, you know, and that comes to my mind in John 15. I mean, that do with truth. I mean, you come to light and you get shed of those evil things. You get shed of those things that are not of the ways of the Lord. You just get rid of them. And then what you'll see is that then you get out of the way that the Lord is able to move and able to operate. And then it's clear that it's rotten God. You know, and I look at the works that are rotten God. I mean, I look at healing the sick, raising the dead, cast out devils. It says we ought to walk as he walked. And if we believe on him, we will do the works of God. That's what it says. But it'll be manifest. I mean, it'll be manifest. What can I say?
And it gives, you know, it takes you from the confession to the profession. James says, so you say you have faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith all alone being by itself almost makes you dead. If the result of your faith, you're not doing the works of God, then your faith is useless.
Amen. And that's the scary thing, because I don't want to be that branch that is taken away. Do you know what I'm saying? So I look at that, I look at my life, and I go, well, you know what, Lord? I need to start laying down some things and believing and trusting in you.
Somehow you're always ready to bring it back to John 15.
Sorry.
Sweet. I kept stretching it out. Actually got us in the second Timothy there a little bit. We just sprung back to John 15.
Look, I apologize. I don't know if I, you know, because I look at it and I want to take an honest look. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to deceive myself, and I want to deceive anybody else. Right. I want to take an honest look. Where am I at? Where are we at as a body? Where are we at as a fellowship? Do you know what I mean? Or are we going to just keep, I don't want us to be deceived and keep going about our way going, la 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 la, everything's great. When we are yet deceiving ourselves in that, I don't want that to be the case. I don't want that to be the case for me, and I don't want to be that case for, you know, for anybody.
Right. But that, and you remember what David was talking about last week. Did you hear David last week? He wasn't lost.
No, I didn't. I didn't hear David. I need to.
His
I didn't.
Was,
didn't know.
You know, we're talking about loving one another and that kind of thing. Agape love versus
filios love,
right? And his deal was, why would God send you anybody to minister the gospel? What does your, what does your ministry show? Does it show agape love? Are you, more interested in their soul than you are your own, desires? Are you more about the Lord's business and the ability to communicate His love to those He sends you? If you're trustworthy in that, He's going to send you people.
Amen.
But if you're still a selfish dirtbag with a title that is a title of nobility, of recognition in ministry, but you're still a dirtbag, why would the Lord send you anybody? What?
I would say, I'd venture to say it. I think I'll always be a dirtbag, but why would I ever, but it's actually putting off that dirtbag, but you're right. And you know, the thing is, it could be very confusing, man, because we can look at love, and when we look at love, we really get confused on how God looks at love and how we look at love. You know, we look at love, and we usually look at the filios love, Paul, and that filios love is, you make me feel good, I make you feel good, we make each other feel good. Right? You know, but sometimes that love is just saying the truth that is gonna be offensive. But yet if they don't hear it, then they're, the error of the way that they're heading down that's leading to destruction. If you don't step up and tell them the truth and these things, that's not loving one another. You know, I mean, we can fancy ourselves and deceive ourselves and even loving one another. Well, I was nice to him, and then I was nice to him, and then I was, but that's all just a bunch of BS. What does the truth say? And where are we at truthfully? And are we ministering that truth to one another? Right. You know, as Jesus did. You know, one thing thou lackest, go sell everything that you have, come and follow me. That wouldn't feel good. And he turned over the tables of the temple and saying, you made my father's house a den of thieves. You whitewashed sepulchres. And then when he goes in the mountain, after he blesses and he blesses the fish and the bread, and he goes and the God multiplies that fish and bread. Then afterwards he goes, you sought me because I fed you. When he was done, That is love. That is love. And we get caught up on the loving one another and so many different, the Philios things, and thinking that's what we're going to do. And when we're just cozying them and deceiving them in the wrong way, in the wrong path. Because we don't want to be a bad guy. But sometimes the Lord calls us to be that bad guy for their sake.
That's right.
That's love. So we need to really get a grasp on what agape love is and what fleshly love is or Philios love is. And, you know, Davey said it not too long ago. When we learn to love, I mean, love your neighbor as yourself. You love your neighbor as yourself. That means you do what, I mean, do you,
sadly, you know. His point was most of the time we do exactly that. We don't love ourselves. Right.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I mean, do we hold ourselves accountable to God and His Word, or do we just ignore it? Okay. Do we feed our soul? I mean, do we feed our spirit the Word of God?
Yeah.
Or do we feed it some other garbage? Do you know what I'm saying? So that's, I mean, we need to get a grasp on what that true agape love is before we can even go about loving one another. You know?
No. It's been said it's a love choice, and it is.
Amen.
To love the unlovable.
Amen.
Because that's what he did. He chose to love the unlovable.
Amen.
Doesn't make any sense. That whole thing in the Beatitudes, he was just describing how you've heard it said, but I say unto you, that's what that whole thing was. It's the difference between somebody who's about Philios and somebody who's about agape. And he was demonstrating agape.
Amen.
He was loving the unloved. The unlovable.
Amen.
And that's, yeah. Don't worry about the spelling. We got it. Philios makes us feel good, and agape is a choice to love the unlovable. And certainly, you know, it's an acknowledgement that we were unlovable as well.
Oh, amen.
And that's not a prideful position to be in. And when you understand how unlovable you were, and yet somebody loved you enough to give you the gospel.
And to tell you the truth.
The truth. And hammer the truth, and hammer the truth, and hammer the truth, and be called names, and he just doesn't understand, and put up with that until you receive the truth.
Amen.
That's love.
Amen. And it took, I mean, you know what's interesting? I was in and out of this ministry for years. But what you had is, no matter what, the people that loved me stood on the truth and did not sway from it. They didn't agree with my justification. They didn't agree with my thinking when it was wrong. Yet they never rejected me. Yet, but they always gave me the truth.
That's right.
And then when I came in agreement with the knowledge that I was wrong, they said, that's why we have the gospel. That's why you look to the cross.
That's it. All right. Well, we sure wound up on a roll.
Yeah, I know. It took a freaking long time to get us there.
You wound up. That's that caffeine kicking in, buddy. Well, you know, it's been an interesting hour here with the Hour of Truth. James, feel better?
Yeah, please do, brother.
And we will see you next week on, Lord willing, on the Hour of Truth.
May God bless everybody.